This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. It's time to turn that frown upside down. Welcome to Wrestling with Optimism, where the world isn't ending and wrestling is still fun.
Welcome, everyone, to Wrestling with Optimism here on the Place to Be Nation. I'm Graham Coffin, joined by Brad Stutz. Dan McGinn is here as well, but he already told us up front that he will be muted for most of the show because he says he has nothing to add. So we'll see if that holds true. But this is Wrestling with Optimism. And if you have listened to the show before, and we're just going to assume that you have, but I'm going to explain this anyway. We try typically to focus on people within the industry that are doing really cool stuff. We had on the founder of Russell Crates on our last episode. This episode, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're not going to focus on a person per se, but more of an event. Both Brad and I are here in North Carolina, and for the past 12 years, or almost 12 years, there's been an annual tradition, wrestling tradition here in the Carolinas, known as the NWA Legends Fan Fest. And I have gone almost every year. Brett has gone many of the years. And as we record this, actually, it's only about a week away. And we've been told, as we were told last year, that this will be the last event. So rather than having a guest on this week, I just wanted to get together and share some FanFest stories and experiences and kind of talk about the culture that this has created in the past dozen years or so. Brad, talk to me a little bit about how that popped up on your radar, because this thing started back Super Bowl weekend 2004.
Yeah, I would say it was about a dozen or so years ago, and FanFest actually predates some of this, but it played a part in it. About a dozen or so years ago, here in the Carolinas, there was a huge wave of nostalgia that hit. And a lot of that had to do with Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton, the Midnight Express, taking bookings again as a tag team. So in a lot of small towns here in the Carolinas where they were running independent cards, whereas you would previously see the Rock and Roll Express, who have always been working regularly, you would previously see the Rock and Roll Express against the local tag team, or, you know, sometimes against maybe like David Cash and somebody, or Chase Owens or Brad Thomas, you know, guys that were known for kind of traveling with the Rock and Rolls. Now, all of a sudden, on all these little towns, you're getting the Rock and Roll Express against the Midnight Express. It became, believe it or not, if you're another part of the country, it became the hottest match in the Carolinas all over again in 2004 and 2005. Everyone was doing it. And so that was kind of how FanFest and everything got on my radar, because I grew up loving the Midnight Express. I still do. I've been blessed to get to know all those guys and blessed to get to know Jim and Stacy. And so 2005, which I guess is the second one, right? The second FanFest?
It was January 04, and then August 04 was in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
So okay. Then 05 would have been the third.
August 05 is the first one I went to.
That's where I met you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to kind of tie that in, that we would not be doing a show together without the Legends Fan Fest. That's where you and I met. That's where our wives met. That's where, you know, a lot of relationships, you know, personal and professional, have been forged. And immediately I loved it. I thought it was great. Just the sense of community, and that's something that I have a feeling I'm going to be talking about a lot on this show. And, you know, the sense of everyone there loves this eccentric, crazy, wonderful art form. Everyone there feeling good. I've talked a little bit on these shows before about the vibe WrestleMania weekend and how much I love going to the host city for WrestleMania and being there WrestleMania weekend. FanFest is a very similar vibe. If any of our listeners remember how I've described, or if any of you have lived the WrestleMania weekend, FanFest is very similar. It's a huge just conglomeration of people from literally all over the globe, from all walks of life. We have people that fly in from overseas. They all converge on Charlotte, and it's just such a cool vibe. You meet people, you see merchandise that you've never seen before, or maybe that you haven't seen in 25 years. It's just such a happy kind of vibe. I almost compare it to almost kind of in a weird way, like almost what I would think Woodstock would be like. It's very kind of peaceful, and everyone's in a good mood, and everyone is just kind of celebrating this wonderful art form. So ever since my first one in August of 2005, I try to make it there every year. You know, keeping a full schedule of independent dates. There's been a couple of years that I haven't been able to be there the whole time, or that I had to leave early. But I try to at least pop in every year, because it's just, you see people, and it's a fans type of convention, you know. And what I mean by that is, if you read reports sometimes online, or you hear reports of, oh, you know, this was managed horribly, or they rushed everyone through the line, or this or that, you know, there are always little, you know, things that happen at every, you know, big full-scale event. But I can honestly say that FanFest feels like the type of vibe where the fans are put first, and it's definitely, it's just really cool to experience. It's really cool to see. And I know, Graham, you've actually been to more of them than me, so you might be the better person to say, how did FanFest get on your radar? How did you decide this was something that you wanted to be a part of, and what kept you coming back every year?
Well, I remember January 04, I'm still in college. I'm still going to college in Southwestern Virginia. And a friend of mine who I was going to school with mentioned, oh, there's this thing happening in a few weeks in Charlotte. You want to go? And I looked at the lineup, and, you know, just living in the industry, you can look at the lineups for a lot of big upcoming events. And there's one that we talked about recently on the show. About, you know, the Great Muta coming to Shelby, and we know how that didn't happen. And you look at these lineups and you go, yeah, but is this really going to happen? And I remember the lineup for the first one was huge, absolutely huge. Dusty Rhodes, Tully Blanchard, Ricky Steamboat, and it was everyone from Crockett main eventers and headliners to Crockett opening match guys. And it was literally something like two or three dozen named people that were going to be there. And it was kind of a spur of the moment kind of thing. I think maybe I confirmed a week beforehand to go. Mm-hmm. And so that whole week, I remember going, like, what am I going to bring? Like, I've never been to a convention of any time, what would be something cool that I could bring and get signed by almost anyone that was going to be there. And so what I ended up doing is, and this kind of goes to show how long the books have been in brewing in my brain, I printed off about as many pages as I could of my website at that point. And I poked holes in all the pages and crammed them into a three-ring binder that at the end of the day probably weighed 30 pounds. I didn't think this through very well. And so I throw it in a backpack, drive to Charlotte, wake up at something like 2 or 3 in the morning just to drive to Charlotte and wait in line to get in, because I think the doors opened at 9 or 10. And by the time we got there, it was, you know, 200 people long. And I had to lug this thing around all freaking weekend. But it was so much fun. At that first one, it was very much, I don't think they understood the demand. And so it was very much one of those things where, oh, 1,500 people showed up and we didn't expect that. And so it was a lot of waiting in lines. It was one of those situations in which you just waited in line until the session was over, and hopefully you made it through in time to get, you know, to get autographs from all these people. And then you'd have to immediately get back in line for the next one. It was one of those things. And they learned a lot from it, so that's never happened since. But it, despite the long days and the standing and the waiting, it was so much fun just to be in that atmosphere and in that environment, because, you know, I remember there were people I waited in line with that very morning, that first day, that I'm still good friends with to this day. And I met them that morning. And there's, it was just interesting. I was thinking about this a few days ago, but before we kind of made this a plan to talk about this tonight, there are so many people in my quote unquote wrestling social circle that I would not be friends with if it weren't for FanFest. And that is about you. That's about Mike Johnson. That's about friends that I have in the UK. That's about friends I have all over the Midwest and West Coast that have come in for this at some time or the other, that I'm still in regular contact with. And it just kind of blows my mind that, you know, where would I be right now? Where would you be right now if there was no FanFest?
Yeah, we definitely would not be doing a show together. Because like I said, you know, I was always a big fan of the website, and I always was like, I need to network with that guy at some level, because I was such a fan of all the time and all the effort and everything that you had done with the website. So I was, you know, I was thrilled to get that chance to kind of network with you and strike up a friendship. But yeah, we would not be doing a show here. We would not be on the Place to Be Nation. We would not have put out, you know, 5 or 6 books. It is that atmosphere of just kind of fellowship that I think that's one of the things that keeps me coming back, is if you like, yeah, like I'm typically not the guy that, you know, waits in line for autographs and things like that. Like you and I have talked about this before. I love just kind of being there and seeing, you know, people interacting and people having a good time, and like the look on someone's face when they're flipping through, you know, a photo album at somebody's table, and, you know, they see a picture of some random house show or even a pay-per-view, and they were like, oh, I was there that night, or just talking to people and finding out, you know, about really their fandom. In that regard, FanFest is a perfect topic for Wrestling with Optimism, because, you know, it has become a real destination. It has become a permanent fixture in so many people's lives and such a big part of them being a fan. You know, there are, I know, people who travel internationally every year to come to Charlotte, to stay at the University Hilton, to be part of FanFest, and people from all over the country. And that's, I think that's really a testament to what they've created with this weekend. You know, to me, that means something. And I never want to overlook that or take it for granted that, you know, if someone works, you know, their job every week and they take their hard-earned money to come see us at CWF Mid-Atlantic, I appreciate that and I respect that. And I never, ever want to lose sight of that. And FanFest to me has that same vibe of, you've got people who, you know, may only get 1 week paid vacation a year, and they use it to come from wherever they are on the planet to come to Charlotte, to come to FanFest, and to be part of that communal vibe. And it's something that it's something that makes it cool, is it's not just North Carolina people. You know, I've met people from Britain. I've met people, I mean, last year you know, we met a young woman from Israel who, you know, remembered when World Class came in the 80s and got to spend time with her. And there's a one of the young men that's doing the Future Legends camp. Who's from the United Kingdom, I met last year, and we were trying to work it out for him to join us at CWF Mid-Atlantic this Saturday and fly in early, and we didn't get it worked out. It really is just so much, as much as anything, it's a networking opportunity, you know, and striking up friendships and meeting people. And yeah, the influence of this, you know, FanFest is evident, literally, like we said, in this show. We would not be doing a show together. We would not have written books together if it weren't for that opportunity to meet each other. And like you said, there's so many other, you know, people that that's true of. There's people that, you know, there's people that I haven't seen in a year that I'm going to see next weekend. And I know the same is true for you. I don't benefit from this at all. I'm not affiliated with FanFest. I'm not affiliated directly with WrestleCon, although I'm there every year. If you have the chance to take part in any of these conventions, I say, number one, just as a precaution, do your research. You know, make sure that they are a reputable thing that's been around for a few years, that have done a few under their belt, so that you don't get hosed out of any money. But if you have the chance to be part of them and they check out and it seems legit, go and just immerse yourself in the weekend. You know, take in the Q&As, take in the live matches, meet people, meet wrestlers that you've never met before or don't remember. Because it's a really cool vibe, and it really is. Like I said, it epitomizes everything that the Wrestling with Optimism show has come to be about, which is, you know, the personal journeys of people expressing how and why and what they love about the wrestling business. FanFest epitomizes that in that it represents what so many people have come to love about the business. And, you know, another thing that I think that I have always found to be interesting, some years more than other, but like you said, Graham, you were in college the first year. I was in college when FanFest started. It's not necessarily an old-timey crowd. Like, you're going to meet people of all ages coming from everywhere.
You will, but it does tend to skew
well,
older.
Obviously. But, I mean, I've met fellow people my age there. I've met, you know, girls that were in college or young, you know, people that was coming, you know, that come to independent shows and things of that nature.
Wait, you met college girls there?
Always. Come on now.
Was not paying attention at that moment.
You go to bed too early, Graham Coffin. I've told you this before. but yeah, it's always a cool vibe. I completely recommend anybody to go and, you know, you have ended up, I will say, with some really, really cool, like, display-type pieces that have been signed by dozens and dozens of people from attending these conventions. And I will go on record as saying that was a really good idea on your part, because you've got some really cool one-of-a-kind pieces now from having attended all these conventions and getting all these people on different years.
The funny thing is, I kind of blame FanFest for that, because if there was no FanFest, I would have no interest in getting a piece that would work to be signed by so many people. Good example, and this is a non-wrestling example. Several years ago, I took my wife for her birthday to this major Star Trek convention in Chicago. She's a big Trekkie fan, loves pretty much the whole run. And they're doing a big thing in Chicago. So we drove out there. And while we were out there, the first day we had to find something, kind of like with FanFest, had to find something that would work to be signed by everyone that we could get signed by. And so in the man cave where all my, you know, big wrestling pieces are, we have this like 1966 or 1976 piece of fabric that was mass produced that has the Enterprise on it that is signed by Shatner and Patrick Stewart and all these other people, but it works for that. It kind of hits all the genre, all the different pieces of Star Trek. So what I've done, and I know that just sounds super nerdy, you're talking about going to a Star Trek convention while we're on a wrestling podcast, but it was fun. It was awesome. So what I've tried to do over the years is maybe this is the college days, and I would spend so much time on eBay just looking at cool pieces of wrestling, old memorabilia and stuff like that. And that's kind of where I took up a huge liking to event posters, like old TV tapings from the early 90s or the 80s or old pay-per-view posters. And it's great that I came across them then, because you can really never find them now on eBay. But there's a couple that really stand out that I'm really glad that I got a long time ago. And I probably paid, 20 or 30 bucks, 10 or 15, well, probably about 10 or 12 years ago for this WrestleMania 3 cardboard hard poster. And it's got the Hogan face opposite Andre's face, and Piper and Adonis and Savage and Steamboat. And because of FanFest and because just thankfully I only live about an hour away from Charlotte, I've been able to get almost everyone that worked that show that is still alive, Hogan included, because even Hogan came to Charlotte about a year ago. And primarily that's been because of FanFest. And for several years I would bring, and I still have it, I'm looking at it right now, and I know Dan's not going to chime in because he's on mute and he's probably not paying attention anyway, but he loves to bring up Survivor Series 89. And one of my favorite pieces that I have is the Survivor Series 89 pay-per-view poster, because it has the face of all, everyone that was on all the original teams. And a few of those teams got changed, so these are the original lineups. And because of FanFest, I was able to get most of those guys. And there are probably two dozen other posters that I have in my closet right now that I just don't have space to pull out. But I thank FanFest for giving me these ideas. But I also blame FanFest, because I can't tell you how much money I've spent to get these things signed. But eventually they'll either become my retirement savings or my kids' college tuition.
Oh, that's very noble. I like that.
Depends on how much I like my kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not getting rid of anything of mine. So that's very noble on your part. That kind of foresight, that kind of foresight.
Also, did you notice that Dan didn't chime in because he's not paying attention?
He's playing with his dog. But yeah, I agree with that, and I think it does kind of, if you go to these conventions, which again I recommend everyone does, assuming that you have the time and resources to check them out, make sure that whatever you're thinking of buying a ticket to is a legitimate operation and not this Great Muda in Shelby, North Carolina thing that Graham got hosed on.
At least I got my money back.
Well, that's good. That's better than most.
That's how I found out it was canceled, by the way. I got a refund.
I meant to text you about that every day leading up to it, and it'd be like, has it been canceled yet? Because it's going to be. But, a lot of times people will say, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Not necessarily, because a lot of these, fan fest, fan convention lineups over the years have been ridiculous. I mean, I think the most notable one probably – what was it, Graham, 2010 or 2009, when they had all of the Four Horsemen back in Charlotte? That's probably maybe the most notable one. But, there have been – I've been part of a lot of crazy, fan fest lineups where it's just like there's no way that all these people are going to, be together again, and they have been. And – to me, that's one of the cool parts also, is you get to see, you get to be there for very, very real moments that a generation ago, the age that I grew up with, those moments would be guarded. I've seen, Bill Watts reminisce with Kamala, seeing him for the first time in 10 or 15 years or whatever. And I've seen, Cornette and J.J. Dillon, together with, Sir Oliver Humperdinck for the last time, or what ended up being the last time. And
I miss Humperdinck. I met him at FanFest, and he was so nice to me. And
yeah, he was a staple of FanFest.
We actually became friends, and then he had to die.
Yeah, it you know, he was a staple of the early ones. You know, it's, to me, that is one of the really cool things, is you get to see these moments that, you know, a generation ago would have been very guarded, but the level of interaction that you get with these people affords you the luxury of, you know, being there when, you know, these people that you grew up watching and grew up idolizing, you know, they're having just as much fun as you reconnecting with old friends that, you know, normally would be done in private. But how many times, Graham, have we been just out on the floor doing whatever, and you always see it, someone will get up from their table to go say hello to someone at their table, and, you know, you just get to see these little moments where the real individuals behind these quote unquote characters, or whatever, you know, however you want to look at them, you get to see their real selves. You get to see, you know, really genuine moments. And that to me is one of the coolest parts, is, you know, is seeing something like that, or seeing, you know, someone come over to a former colleague or someone they haven't seen in 10, 15, 20 years. And, you know, you get to stand there and watch that moment and hear a little snippet of conversation, or just see them catching up or whatever. To me, that's as cool as any other aspect of the whole thing, to me personally.
Yeah, it is. One thing that I remember looking back at some of the earlier fan fests, and this is pre-YouTube, this is pre-WWE Network, is how many of the talent that was brought in did not have much of their own footage.
Oh, yeah.
Would actually go around. Now, they didn't necessarily, they weren't looking to spend a lot of money, but they would actually go around looking and asking, you know, what, do you have anything with me in it? Because they didn't have it. I remember Sherry, the Sensational Sherry was one of those people. I remember, in fact, two guys, and Humperdinck was one of them. And I don't tell this story to like go, oh, how awesome am I? I'm just telling this story because I was glad to be in a position
to do this.
But for many of the years that FanFest went on and is going on, I was there as a vendor. So I was selling magazines and DVDs and VHS tapes, and sometimes posters as well. And Dr. Vet Steve Williams, who was there, I believe, in 07, and this is when he was using his voice machine thing because he was battling cancer. He came over to my table and he was just looking around, and I was glad to actually, you know, get to see him and say hello. And I had a Beach Blast 92 poster where it was him and Gordy against the Steiner Brothers. And he popped so hard for that thing. And I was so thankful that I had two copies. So I gave him one.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was so appreciative. Now, I hate that I think within a year the cancer took him, but I was, like, that's such a cool moment that I was able to actually give him something that he did not have, that he was majorly part of, and he was so appreciative of. And on the same, in the same kind of story, I was thankful, and this is one of those eBay purchases I made, but I had the cardboard poster promoting the taping for the Saturday Night's Main Event. I want to say in Nashville, it was the Hogan Harley Race show.
Yeah.
And if I'm remembering correctly, Bam Bam Bigelow and Sir Oliver Humperdinck are prominently featured on that poster.
Okay.
And so Hump came, he was just kind of going through my stuff, and he was like, holy crap, I think this was when we were on NBC.
And that was the only time he was ever on a Saturday Night's Main Event, I think. Or it was, right. It was the only time he remembered. And I just kind of gave it to him. And he was so thankful. And I remember he went back home. And this was back, I think this is MySpace days. Maybe it was Facebook, but I think it was MySpace. And he sent me a message and he said, I just wanted to thank you so much. And the poster is prominently featured in the house. And it was great to see you. And I hope to see you again soon. And it wasn't too long before we lost him too.
Yeah. And you know, that is a topic that, you know, it's not exactly pleasant to talk about, but you do get to see a lot of these people. And in fact, they get to see, you know, their friends and people that they travel the roads with. And a lot of times, you know, for the last time, you know, there's been so many instances where I was glad to have gotten the chance to spend a little time with someone and or tell them, you know, what they meant to me as a fan. And they're not here anymore. You know, Brad Armstrong comes to mind, and Oliver Humperdinck comes to mind. Gary Hart comes to mind. You know,
I have a great Brad Armstrong story. I mean, not to cut you off, but this is one of the early fan fests, and I had already gotten into the poster craze, and I had him sign the Bash 91 poster, and that's the infamous We Want Flair show.
Yeah.
And I have you ever seen the poster?
Is Windham on the poster, or is Flair on
it? No, it's Luger and Flair.
Yeah, I've seen that advertisement. Okay. I remember.
Yeah. So it's that poster, and it looks badass. You know, whatever you think of the show, the poster looks badass. And on the bottom there, there's the picture of Missy Hyatt, because they promote her pretty well as being part of the show as well. And Brad signed the poster really close to Missy's special place. And there, I don't know what we said between each other, but he said something. No, really. I was one of the few that didn't go there. But I guess by riding over it, he went there. But that was just my little side story about Brad.
That was the closest he ever came.
He said it, he didn't want to go because many others had already been.
God bless Missy. But, you know, and even last year, you know, and you may remember this, you know, there's always that. If you go every year, there's always like, well, I definitely want to do this, or I definitely want to see this person. There's always like, you know, you got to kind of rotate people in and out. You always got to have some fresh guests is kind of the point I'm getting at. And for me last year, it was that they were going to have Pritchard and Del Rey, the Heavenly Bodies, together. That was the one thing that I was like, I don't care what else is going on. I don't care if we're slammed at the table. I'm going to go meet the Heavenly Bodies, because I've met Pritchard a couple of times, but I've never met Del Rey before. And they were great, and they were awesome, and they had Corny brought the Smoky Mountain tag team titles for photo ops, which I thought was awesome. And, you know, it was really cool to get to see those guys together, and, you know, they're seeing their friend, you know, Jimmy Del Rey for the first time in forever. And then it wasn't just a couple months later that he was gone. So, you know, I look at it as a positive thing and as a wonderful opportunity. You know, you can look at it as a morbid thing also, if that's how you choose to live your life. But, you know, to me, it's a wonderful opportunity to see and have moments with some of these people before they're gone, you know, and that's one of the really cool things to me. And your stories of, like, you know, Humperdinck and people with the posters, we had a similar situation last year with Ricky Morton.
Right.
We had our friend Grant had a friend that worked in the CNN Center, and she had somehow finagled for him the actual sign. It was just like, you know, you walk, you ever see on a television show, or if you ever actually see a real one at the television, at a television station or an office, they'll have signs kind of peppering the hallways, you know, promoting the shows that are on that network or what have you. She actually finagled the sign promoting WCW Classics that used to hang in the CNN Center, and it was Ricky Morton dropping a fist drop on Ric Flair was the prominent picture on the sign, and we had it at our table. Ricky, you know, had never seen it before, went nuts for it, and that's when we told him, you know, this was actually the sign that hung in the CNN Center promoting, you know, WCW Classics on Turner South. And, you know, we let Ricky have it, and it's on display now at the School of Morton, his pro wrestling school in Chuckney, Tennessee. You know, that's another kind of piece of nostalgia and piece of memorabilia that he gets to display now, just because of running across our table or vice versa at FanFest. So I completely, you know, recommend the experience to everyone. And North Carolina, I think, is blessed to have a couple of good ones. You know, before we went on the air a little bit, Graham, you were talking about how it seems like there's a big convention in the Northeast all the time, and maybe there is, but North Carolina, you know, we get the Fan Fest every August, we get WrestleCade in November. You know, I'm very pleased living where I live and at the amount of, you know, major wrestling, for lack of a better term, celebrities that pass through the Carolinas on a regular basis. Maybe we don't get as much attention as the Northeast, but we are not hurting for interactive fan experiences, in my opinion.
No, we're not, and we're certainly better off now than we were 10 or 15 years ago. I think the Northeast, they benefit just because so many of those guys just live there.
Yeah.
So it's not much of a travel. Just while you were telling your story, I had one pop to mind. This is not the ideal wrestler interaction, but it's pretty awesome if you look at it from a different perspective. In 2004, I had Sensational Sherry cut a legit promo on me.
What for?
So this is in Fayetteville. This is,
I don't remember this story.
Yeah, this is a great story. And I made really good friends with Gary Michael Capetta that weekend. And so my friend and I were walking out of the host hotel, and because we weren't able to get a night there, we were staying in a different hotel. So we walk out with all our stuff, and Gary Michael Capetta and Sherry are outside smoking. And this is me just kind of, I'm still in college, and maybe I don't have the same social skills that I do today because of what I learned in the scenario.
Right.
So I already having a rapport with Gary, I said, I heard that might not be the best thing for you. It was like just legit Graham low-key sarcasm, right?
That's exactly like the same social skills that you have now.
But maybe I pick and choose my audience better.
Right, right.
So, and it was like not confrontational. It was just, you know, I'm passing by, I smile, and I say that, right?
Yeah, that's just you.
Right. So Sherry pulls the cigarette out of her mouth, and I think she's pointing at me with it the whole time. She goes, when you get to be as old as I am and go through all the shit that I've gone through, then you can tell me what I can and cannot do.
Holy shit.
I was absolutely frozen. And she was having a rough weekend. I think this is the weekend that they did the RF shoot with her, and from talking with the RF guys that night, she was not in a good place, and so they had to stop and try again later. Anyway, so the friend that I'm with is brilliant because without missing a beat, he goes, oh, sure, we have stuff for you to sign, okay? And it's like snapping a finger, and she turns into a giddy 8-year-old girl. She goes, oh, what do you have of me?
That's pretty great.
And so we pulled out this stuff, and she signed it. But in that moment, it was like I'm Sapphire, and she's about to freaking kill me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's just a cool. She was not having a good weekend, and I could look back on that and go, oh, she was such a bitch. But I'm one of the few fans, I think, of this generation that can say Sensational Sherry cut a legit promo on me.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, and that does happen a lot of times. Like if you've never been, or you might think that, you know, they're gonna be like, oh, this fucking Mark wants me to sign something, and some people, you do run into people occasionally who are like that, but for the most part, you know, everyone that's there, everyone that's a part of the signings and everything is into it. They're having fun, you know, just like you are. And you're right. You introduce that element to things, And you will hear that a lot. You will hear, you know, just like the Humperdinck thing, just like Sherry Martel, you know, you will hear people that really get excited that, you know, you have something for them or have something of theirs or have something that they were featured on. And that's always, you know, that's always nice. And in my experience and in the time that I've, in the time that I've been around, I hear way more positive interaction stories
with absolutely
than negative.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I think in the, what did we say earlier, almost 12 years that we've been doing, that they've been doing these, I could probably count the negative, you know, stories definitely on two hands, possibly on one.
Oh, I can definitely, yeah, one hand for me. And, yeah, and yeah, that goes back to the very first show.
Yeah. And that, I'm, you know, I'm going to be sad to see this thing go if this really is the last one. I've been skeptical, and I hope that the tradition or what has become the tradition of the past few years will continue, in that someone or something will persuade them to keep doing this thing and have another one next year, because, you know, it's not a, it's not an exaggeration to say, Graham, that this pretty much is kind of the social event of the season in this part of the country for, you know, wrestling fans. Like, you know, it's a gathering, for lack of a better term.
It is Starrcade 85. Oh. And how about we do this? How about we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I have a Virgil story.
Okay. Everyone's got one. So yeah, we'll take a break. We'll tell you about some more great shows on the Place to Be Nation, and we'll be right back with Graham Coffin's Virgil story.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, the Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back to Wrestling with Optimism here on the Place to Be Nation. I'm Graham Coffin, joined by Brad Stutz. We are talking the NWA Legends Fan Fest. But of course, you already know that because you probably had to sit through the first half of the show to get to this point. Before we went to break, I mentioned that I had a Virgil story, and we all have Virgil stories. And Virgil is on the minds of many right now because he's become active on Twitter and he's become active on Kickstarter. Well, he stole money from me in 2008. No, 2006, and it was at FanFest. And while we were on break, Dan offered, and I'm going to mention this on the air because I want his future wife to hear this. He offered to trade me one of his future children in exchange for the Survivor Series 89 poster that I have signed by 22 of either the wrestlers that appeared on the show or the wrestlers that were advertised for the show. And one of those people that appeared on the show was Virgil. And so in 2006, when FanFest, oddly enough, went up north to Maryland, to the D.C. area, I brought the poster with me to get signed by several of the guys that were there. And I'm setting up that first – I was a vendor. So I was setting up the table the first day before anyone else was any of the fans were coming in. Funny enough, right across, you know, maybe 10 feet away on the opposite end of the hallway – Virgil had a table.
Of course.
So he's just walking around looking to see what everyone has, and he's really friendly. And a part of me, because this all predates the Virgil stories. This is 2006. You know, a lot of what we know about Virgil now has been perpetuated through social media. There was no social media in 2006 unless you count MySpace. And so he's really friendly, and part of me is kind of popping that, you know, I'm 10 feet away set up from Virgil. And he said, you know, if you need me to sign anything, just let me know. I'm right there, you know. And so maybe 10 or 15 minutes go by. We're still setting up the table and just kind of getting ready for the crowd. And I said, oh, Virgil, I got something here that you were part of. That's pretty much how I pitched it. You were part of this. You might be interested in seeing what this is. And it was a Survivor Series 89 poster. And he's not actually on the poster, but Ted DiBiase is. And so he signs it, and he's very happy, and I'm very happy. And he goes, yeah, that'll be $20. And there was an awkward moment in which no one said anything.
Virgil's whole life is that awkward moment.
It wasn't awkward for him. It was awkward for me because the way that this was pitched to me is he's a nice guy and he will be happy to sign. What he left out is he will be happy to sign in exchange for $20.
Love it.
So I paid him $20 because at that point, I think I felt guilty if I didn't, because I didn't know who Virgil was. Now I know who Virgil is.
His reputation did not precede him at the time.
No, it did not. I think it took a lot of people like me to kind of get that reputation out there. So I paid him the $20, and I don't really remember much the rest of the day, except for I bitched about Virgil a lot.
So, Graham, I'm chiming in. So does that
Hi, Dan. Nice to see you.
I just have a question. Does this mean that I don't have to give you children, but all I need to do is give you $20 and that poster is mine?
That's exactly what that means.
That's what I'm getting from this story. Because you know,
Dan, I don't think there's any scenario in which you give me children.
Touche. But you do know, you do know, we did a whole show about this, man. I mean, this is like, or maybe you and I didn't, but there was a whole show dedicated to my love for Survivor Series 89. I think you bringing this up on a show that I didn't think I was going to appear on is just your way of saying, I don't need this in my life anymore. Maybe someone like Dan, who has nothing going for him right now, why don't we let him have this? Because I know he'll appreciate it.
Well, I know the frame alone is probably about $100.
You've already priced
me out. So we'll work from there.
you've already priced me out. On the subject of Virgil, hopefully this is going to be up tonight or so, but Virgil right now, as we are recording this, is doing an Ask Me Anything on Reddit, and it's pretty incredible. I was just pointed to this literally only a couple of minutes before Graham brought up that he had a Virgil story, and it's pretty incredible. I'm not going to quote too much of it, but I encourage everyone to look up Virgil's AMA, Ask Me Anything, on the Squared Circle section of Reddit, because it's pretty tremendous.
A friend of mine that I met only about 10 years ago had a Virgil story through a friend, and someone met him back in the 90s. He was still working for the WWF, but he was an undercard guy. He wasn't winning at all. And they asked him, why do you still work for the WWF? You never win a match. And he said something to the effect of, as long as I'm still getting paid and still getting blowjobs, I'm good.
Where's the lip balm right there from Virgil? Is that what we're going to end the show on?
No.
Is that quote?
No, we are not. It just segued.
Is that quote going to end the show? What are we segueing to from that?
Well, that was just another Virgil story. We need to get off Virgil story.
Guys, this is why we need a format, because I don't know what we're going to next.
You would look at
it. I'm on money and blowjobs. I thought that was – we need a format so that I know what to talk about now.
All right. I'm going to change the conversation. I have a great – FanFest memory, and it has nothing to do with wrestlers. But in 2005, I met a whole bunch of people for the first time. One was from England, one was from Vegas, and it was just 2005 was a hot year. And I'm glad you were able to go to that one, because I met Bret Hart there, and I had my like little schoolgirl meltdown meeting him. Dory Funk was there, Terry Funk was there. We had so many fans that came in from Japan.
Was Mother Funk there?
Who?
Was Mother Funk there?
You mean Dory's wife?
No. Was Flash Funk there?
Jimmy Jack Funk was not
there. Was Jimmy Jack Funk there? Jimmy Jack Funk probably was there, because that's what George names one of his trainees. But anyway, yes, 2005 was an amazing year.
So the last day, that Sunday, coincided with SummerSlam. And I remember Brett did a Q&A that afternoon. And yes, if you remember at all, through the whole Shawn Hulk Hogan deal, that whole build, there was an underground, if not overground, rumor that Brett was going to show up at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Because they had Raw in Montreal, and they made Brett like a focal point, even though he wasn't even supposed to be there. And so the first question is, when do you fly out to make it to SummerSlam? When do you fly out to DC? And he said, I'm not going to be there. So later that evening, most of everyone has left, but there's a few people. They're staying the night, extra night, whatever. And I, at this point, I'm living like 2 hours away, so I think I'm probably staying extra night too. So a bunch of us decide that we want to find a place around here that's showing SummerSlam. So we literally drive all over Charlotte. And this is before I moved to North Carolina, so I didn't know the area. No one that was part of our group lived in North Carolina. So we're aimlessly driving around Charlotte for probably 2.5 hours. And I say probably 2.5 hours because by the time that we found a Hooters that was showing it, not only was the Hooters packed and we had to literally stand outside, but we arrived just in time to hear Hulk Hogan's entrance music.
Nice.
So it was cool too because the audio was piped outside. So we stood and watched Hogan and Shawn, and then as everyone is leaving after the main event, it was funny because I'm actually working as a reporter going, okay, who won this match? Okay, who won that match? And I'm getting all the results as people are leaving. So we're going yes or boo. And after that, we all went to IHOP, which was right next door, and had the most delusional, because we were all punch drunk from the weekend. We probably drove this poor waitress mad because of the hijinks that we were getting into and the toppings that we weren't supposed to be using that we were using, and the hot sauce that we weren't supposed to be using that we were using. And we were the only customers in there, so I hope we tipped her well.
Nice.
And that was the end of my story.
I love, you know, interactions like that. I love, you know, this year, I guess, Graham, I don't know how interested you are in this, but this year, I guess it'll be the Rousey fight that everyone on Saturday night is looking for a place to watch. After the live matches, you know, they're going to have live matches, at the University Hilton. And then I guess everyone's going to try to find a place Saturday night to watch the Rousey fight. Saturday night. Okay. But yeah, I absolutely remember that year, and it did have like a cool buzz that there was that, you know, a lot of people thought Brett was going to be involved in that story. And it turns out we still had to wait a few more years for that. Graham, is there anyone, you know, let's keep it, you know, in the realm of people that are a possibility, or people that, you know, is there anyone that you haven't met yet that would be kind of like your ultimate kind of fan fest get for one of these conventions one year, whether it's Fan Fest or WrestleCon or WrestleCade or whatever? Because I know you've got a pretty good collection of, you know, signed posters and memorabilia and stuff like that. Is there anybody notable that you're missing that's still with us?
That's still with us, I think, is the main question. We were fortunate that almost immediately after Flair left the WWE in 2008, he headlined FanFest just a few months after WrestleMania in Orlando.
Right.
Hogan never came in for FanFest, but we got him here for Mad Monster Party, which was a different convention, so I met him through that. Terry Funk has been. I mean, Savage and Warrior, maybe we would have had him at some point, but... The clientele tends to lean more NWA than WWF, so I don't know if we ever had a major WWF headliner. You know, at this point, that I haven't met.
They had Foley one of the years as one of the headliners.
They had him in Fayetteville, and he made it back. I did meet him there. It's a short list and of guys, you know, maybe somebody. They even brought in Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, the guys that I haven't met that I would like to is almost limited to somebody like Undertaker.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And FanFest is not getting Undertaker.
What if they do, though? What if he just shows up?
If he just shows up.
Unannounced.
Guys just show up. You know, Charles Robinson's there every year.
Yeah, and I remember Helms was there when he had his neck surgery, and
I met Helms the year that he was out.
Yeah,
the neck brace on, and that was in 2007, because I have a great photo of me and Helms and Velvet Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Moa Joe does a photo bomb.
Oh, nice!
A purposeful photo bomb. And that's also a great weekend because Joe was confronted by so many drunk fans at the hotel bar that wanted him to chop them.
That's a horrible idea.
But I think at some point he actually started doing that.
I've never had that inclination. I've seen several fans do it, but I've never had that inclination at any point.
To have a wrestler chop you or to have Samoa Joe chop you?
To have any wrestler, I've never been that guy that's like, hey, Piper, put me in the sleeper or whatever. I've seen plenty of people do it. I've never had that inclination for whatever reason.
Have I told you my Piper sleeper story?
I believe so. I will not spoil it for our listening audience, but by all means.
Okay. This is not a FanFest story, but it also happened in Charlotte. He was brought in for it was a High Spots affiliated show. It was not a show that they promoted. It was I think a fundraiser show, but this is literally 6 days after WrestleMania 25. And Piper was there, and Steamboat was there, and Flair was there. And this was one of Reed Flair's first matches, so Rick was there. And Piper was doing photo ops before the event, and he was doing autographs before the event. And I had just gotten off work. I'm dressed in almost a suit and tie. And I get up there, and he says, "Oh, what do you do?" I think he had already been drinking. So he asked, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a reporter." And I think, like, 1984 John Stossel popped into his head. I really do, because he's like, "Oh." And so for the photo op, I say, you know, we're just, like, going to do a gripping grin. And my wife was with me, and she did a gripping grin. And he was drunk, and he hit on her, and she thought it was great. And so I'm next. And I say, "Well, for the photo, would you mind putting me in a sleeper?" Because I've seen just so many guys just, like, you know, act like they're putting the hold on because it's a great photo. I forgot that I thought he was drunk, right? So that's kind of an important factor here. He did not act like he put me in the sleeper. Roddy Piper put me in a legit sleeper. My eyes were going out. I was looking at the photographer, and I was looking at the crowd behind him, and I was thinking, "Oh, God, what's the newspaper going to say tomorrow? Drunk wrestler kills fan." I was almost out cold, and he only had me in for a few seconds. I have this great photo of Roddy Piper and me, and I look to be in immense pain. And I think that pain is legit panic of, "Oh, God, this drunk wrestler is about to kill me."
That's phenomenal. You're using the word drunk a lot in that story. That's almost libelous.
Well,
that's almost actionable how many times.
No. Okay.
Now, Piper's had enough problems with podcasts in the past few weeks. You don't need to get him. Don't get us on his list.
This is from 2009, and he had not been to Charlotte in a very long time, and he's hanging out with Ric Flair and their old best buds. I can guarantee you that they were drinking before anything started. And that's not an insult to them. That's just, I mean, that's what I would have been doing.
I think we filmed an interview with them that day.
You did?
I vaguely remember being at the High Spots office and filming an interview with them that day. Because I was very,
excited.
Yeah, I did the research for that.
Was it any good? I never saw that.
Yeah, it was very much what you described. The idea was catching up with Rick and Roddy. So, yeah. Like, they talked about WrestleMania 25 and kind of the state of the business. We didn't go over all the, like, all the Crockett stuff and all, you know.
You didn't ask about Puerto Rico?
No. Well, I think they did bring up Puerto Rico, but it wasn't on our list of topics to bring up. Because the idea was very much kind of catching up with Rick and Roddy. But, you know, that's just like FanFest in the sense that, you know, you're sitting there, you know, 5 feet away from Ric Flair and Roddy Piper as they're recording this interview that's going to be seen by, you know, however many people. And you're just like, you know, wow, this is pretty cool. This is a pretty cool, you know, no matter what level wrestling fan you are, if you've been living this for years and years, or if you've been doing, you know, if you're just getting into it or whatever, you know, these are two of the biggest stars in the industry. They're right there in front of you, and you're, you know, experiencing a very human connection with them. And I think that's the biggest thing about these conventions, whether it's the NWA Fan Fest in Charlotte or WrestleCon that's going to be in Dallas next year, or, you know, Legends of the Ring up in the Northeast or wherever it is. To me, that's the big selling point, is you get, and that's what we've been talking about this whole show, is you get those human interactions, those real moments with the guys and girls for that matter, such as when Sherry Martel almost whooped Graham's ass. And, you know, to me, that's the big selling point, and that's what makes these things so cool, is and any number of fans get to have those moments.
I have a story that probably my wife would share if she were here, but in 2009, I was there as a vendor, and it was the first time that I brought her, and she and I kind of worked the table together. So if I had to go get autographs or do whatever, she could sit and run the table. And there were so many times when I was gone, not at the table, that people would come by slowly and inquire as to if she was talent. And it got to the point, and when I say talent, if she was actually someone that was promoted to be there, that may have been, you know, on a wrestling personality. And it happened so much.
Judy Martin.
It happened so much that she pulled me aside at some point and said, okay, why don't we just start telling people that I was in TNA for 4 weeks?
Hell yes.
And I can charge $10 for a photo.
I love it. I have a similar story. It's not a fan fest story. It's not a wrestling convention story, but along the same lines, I was at an independent show. I was in an independent card in Virginia a few years back, and the promoter had this very adorable, like 13 or 14 year old girl, who was going to sing the national anthem or something, and maybe one other song in intermission or something like that. And the deal was that she had in fact tried out for American Idol, but she wasn't like on the audition show. She wasn't on television at all. She wasn't part of the cast. You know, she had just tried out like 30,000 other people or whatever. But this promoter had the foresight to not only invite this adorable little girl that lived in the town to his event to sing the national anthem, but he had the foresight to print out promotional photos of her with the American Idol logo, and they made a killing off of it.
That is so carny.
That's so carny. I love it. I love a good carny story. That should be our topic next time.
Carny stories.
Greatest. We could have Virgil as a guest if we pay him $20.
No, we'd have to pay him.
We pay him $20 to come on the show and talk about greatest carny stories.
When does his Kickstarter end?
That I do not know, for I have not clicked on it. And I think we have already given Virgil enough publicity this week.
Here's the thing about his Kickstarter, not to advertise it even more, but usually Kickstarters, you know, provide you with an incentive. Like if you give so much, here's what you get back. For Virgil's, you don't get anything back. He wants $1 million, and you can feel privileged by giving him $1 million.
It's like someone explained to him how Kickstarter worked, but he stopped paying attention halfway through the explanation.
That's probably very accurate.
If you are interested in the topic that we're talking about, we will promote these guys because they do a great job. The NWA Legends Fan Fest takes place next weekend, Thursday, July 30th through Sunday, August 2nd at the University Hilton Place Hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina. All the information is at nwalegends.com. This year, a weekend pass is only $99, which I think is a great deal. And if you are flying from somewhere out of driving distance of Charlotte, look into their deal they have with Delta for a credit on your flight. Fortunately, we will be driving and not having to deal with airports or security, because Graham having to check that Survivor Series 89 poster or something like that could end badly one of these days. So thankfully, we don't have to board any planes. We're close enough.
Who's going to be there?
Who's going to be there this year? Road Warrior Animal, Honky Tonk Man, Rob Van Dam, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Jim Ross, Jim Cornette, a ton of people. All the information, nwalegends.com. I always love hanging out with Corny. He's my favorite.
Me too.
Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart is doing a concert, which I'm very excited about. He's doing
a concert.
He's going
to sing Girls in Cars for 2 hours.
I hope he does. I hope he does. I hope it's that and the Rougeau Brothers theme.
Oh, yes. That'd be amazing.
That's all I need. But, yeah, it's actually really cool this year. A lot more kind of Q&A type experiences. Jim Ross is doing his one-man show. A live taping of the Jim Cornette Experience. Van Damme's doing a Q&A. Rick Steamboat's doing a Q&A. Ole Anderson's doing a Q&A. So it's very cool. I really like what they're doing with it this year. You know, we've talked in years past about, you know, how many times can you see the same people? How many times, you know, I really think they've done a very good job this year of kind of freshening it up and having some new faces along with everything that you expect. That's NWALegends.com. The earliest information is already starting to come out for WrestleCon next year in Dallas. They're at WrestleCon.com. Graham, are you going to make it to Dallas next year?
I will say that I booked months ago my hotel.
There you go.
Things can change, but I booked the hotel. I do have a travel itinerary for where I'm going to stop on my way. I got to stop in Memphis. I have to stop in Memphis and get ribs.
I'm completely fine with that. I completely agree with that.
And I do think if I'm not driving, if I'm part of someone else's caravan, like, you know, you and Grant, mm-hmm. you guys need to stop in Memphis too. I swear by this stuff.
I'll let him handle all the navigation.
He won't pull over.
They're at WrestleCon.com. Already a ton of people announced for that. We'll be talking a lot more about that as we gear up for Dallas. And it's closer than we think, boys. It's almost WrestleMania season. You know, we're almost at SummerSlam, and then we'll be at Survivor Series, and then we'll be on the road to Dallas, Texas next year. Very excited.
Where everyone's going to be, because here's the thing. I don't think they need to have one match on the card. I think everyone's going to sell that place out just to be part of that experience of selling that place out.
That would be amazing.
I do. I mean, obviously, they're going to have a match on the card. They're going to have many matches on the card that will draw people. But I think a lot of people are just going to go to say that they were there.
You could do Grant's idea of, like, hologram Andre the Giant versus hologram Ultimate Warrior.
Does it go 30 seconds?
He's sold this to me several times that he thinks that's going to be the thing by, like, WrestleMania 42. It'll be, like, hologram Austin against hologram Hogan or something like that.
Could you just play that at home on your video game?
Yes, but you can't be part of that big experience like you're talking about. He's still waiting on hologram Paul Bearer, too, though. But thank you guys for joining us. Again, I'll say it one more time. If you have the opportunity to be part of any of these events, check them out. Make sure they're reputable. Make sure it's people that know what they're doing and the people are actually going to be there. But go. You'll have a great time. You'll meet great people. And hey, you may even end up forging decade-long relationships from which you'll have a podcast and a website and a book series and all this other stuff. It could happen. Graham, any parting thoughts before we get out of here tonight?
I'm looking forward to next weekend. I'm hoping to see a lot of friends I haven't seen in a while, and I'm kind of thinking that we should probably do a show or two while we're there.
I think that's highly, highly doable. We might even see if we can rope someone into joining us on one or two of these shows. So, plan on it. The next time that you hear from us, we will be at the NWA Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina. If you're going to be there, find us, say hi. It's a great time. It's a great communal atmosphere for wrestling fans. Support independent wrestling in your area. Support these big conventions. Without your support, they will not continue to happen. They will cease to be. So please vote with your dollars. Support them. Support independent wrestling. Support WrestleCon, NWA Legends Fan Fest, all those other conventions. Next time we talk to you, we will be at the Legends Fan Fest. We'll try to rope in some special guests. This is Brad Stutz for Graham Cawthon, for Dan McGinn. We will talk to you next time from FanFest on Wrestling with Optimism and the History of Wrestling.